Welcome to another edition of the Tom Green Podcast. The NFL draft has passed. It's time to talk about our winners and losers. It's time for me to get back on the Tom Green Podcast airwaves after a couple of months of back and forth stuff with Tribune covered teams and whatnot. But here we are back again doing some NFL content. We got some Lions stuff that we got to talk about. We got some draft post analysis that we want to talk about. Nonetheless, we brought in someone from one of the great podcast groups around the Twitterverse. I'm in three different podcast DM groups, the podcast NFL Chat and Talk, NFL Train. And this guy is definitely prominent on the podcast groups, and we're glad to have him here. He is TJ McKinley. Welcome to the show, TJ.
Hello, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's great to have you on the show and ready to talk some NFL. So first off, tell us a little bit about yourself for those that have not listened to TJ McKinley on the shows.
Okay. Hello, everybody. This is TJ McKinley. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. TJ Savage, as it says right there. My major is business economics, so anybody who watches this who a business person, you want to get in touch with me doing business, hit me up at DMs at Mr. TJ Savage. And I'm new to this podcasting thing, even though I've helped a lot of people out, but I'm new to being on camera, so let's just get started, Tom.
Absolutely, and hey, there's a first time for everything. So I was a first time podcaster too, and a first time writer and a first time radio guy. So it happens, and I'm looking forward to it. So we're talking the NFL draft here, some winners and losers. First off, why don't I say it? One of the big winners of this draft is the Detroit Lions, and it's not just because I'm rooting for my own Detroit Lions team. It's because let's first look at the start of this draft. A lot of people thought the Jaguars were going to take Aiden Hutchinson with that first pick. From the time week 18 ended to about 2 days before this draft happened, a lot of people thought Aiden Hutchinson or Kayvon Thibodeau was going to be the guy in Jacksonville. So as a Detroit fan, my first thought was, okay, I want Aiden Hutchinson or Kayvon Thibodeau. If I can't get either, then trade down. Oh, wait, we're the second pick in the draft, so we're going to get one or the other. So there was pretty much no reason, at least in my opinion, to trade down. And the Lions got their man because the Jags got Trayvon Walker from Georgia, which Georgia had a very impressive draft, drafting five defensive players, at least in the first round, in the first two rounds. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but Georgia and the Detroit Lions are two big winners to start. Tell me the first big winner that comes out in your mind.
What, NFL thing?
Yep, NFL draft.
I feel like the Eagles did a good job on drafting. It's like every 5-10 picks, they picking up somebody new. Like, they really was active this draft. They really trying to build around Jalen Hurts, it seems.
Yes, the Eagles had a decision coming into this offseason because Jalen Hurts was all right. I mean, he wasn't necessarily the elite guy for Philadelphia, but on the other hand, the Eagles made the playoffs, and part of that was because of Jalen Hurts. So the Eagles had a decision to make, and their decision was most vastly to keep Jalen Hurts. And the first thing that came to my mind once that decision was made was, I think everybody saw it, the Eagles traded for A.J. Brown, which makes, in my mind, one of the losers of this draft the Tennessee Titans for exactly that reason, getting rid of A.J. Brown. Julio Jones hasn't been the Julio Jones that we've known from Atlanta, okay? A.J. Brown was the number one guy for Ryan Tannehill. You trade the number one guy, and who do you get out of it? A couple of draft picks and drafted nobodies that really we haven't heard of. Tennessee, explain this to me. So with that said, who's a loser of the draft?
I'm gonna have to go with my Browns. Well, Browns and I don't even know, because, like, you don't know how the players going to turn out that they drafted. So I ain't going to say, for now, nobody. For now. No, no, no. Who kept on trading their draft picks?
Oh, my God. Let's see, another team. Yeah, a team that I'm thinking of that traded away draft picks to two divisional teams that has really puzzled a lot of people is the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, that's everybody keep talking about them. Yeah, they, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, the Detroit Lions traded with the Minnesota Vikings. They traded up to grab the wide receiver out of Alabama. The name is kind of escaping me for right now. However, Jameson Williams. That's right, Jameson Williams. It had escaped my mind for the moment, but nonetheless, the Lions traded up to grab Jameson Williams with the Vikings, which was crazy. Here's a tweet I pulled up from Hot Take Empire, and I'll retweet this once the show is done. Aqib Talib called one of the Detroit Lions games in Week 14. And of course, the tweet says, this was in Week 14, and Aqib Talib even went on to say he'd go after Jameson Williams. So here was Aqib's creed, as far as the Fox broadcast had said. Offensive line, team strength when healthy. First overall pick, take Aiden Hutchinson. They did that. Late first round pick, take a top wide receiver. May need to trade up to get your guy. The Lions did exactly that by grabbing Jameson Williams. And Jared Goff, one more year to show he's the quarterback. Jury's out on that, but nonetheless, Aqib Talib really had his ducks in a row, we shall say.
This is about Jared Goff real quick. Jared Goff is a situation where I didn't never think he was all that hype when he was with the Rams. I didn't think it was him. I think it was the team around him. So I think when he came to Detroit, it kind of, I want to say, exposed him. It showed his flaws. Because he made up a lot of that when he was with the Rams. He had Woods. He had Gurley. He had a good O-line. This is where now they're getting older now, but at the time they were mid. And then you had Cup. It was like he had a young up and coming team. But now since he's going to Detroit, it's like y'all exposed his flaws. No, not y'all. I think he exposed his own flaws. Because Sean McVay, he's a good offensive minded coach, so he couldn't hide. That's the way. Yeah, hide his flaws. What you think about Jared Goff?
You see, when Detroit made the trade with us, made the swap Stafford and Goff for draft picks. You could tell the last couple years Jared Goff was in Los Angeles that there was some discontent between himself and Sean McVay and the team. It wasn't necessarily a hatred, nonetheless, because both guys probably consider each other to still be pretty good friends off the field. But nonetheless, what you're kind of getting at, and I tend to second that, is that Sean McVay knew that there were better options out there than Jared Goff, because it seemed like even though Jared Goff made a Super Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams, he felt like a better and more elite quarterback would be the guy that would help lead the Rams to the Super Bowl, and he was exactly right about that with Matthew Stafford. Nonetheless, I don't think Jared Goff is a horrible quarterback, but I do agree with you that it did expose his flaws his first season here in Detroit. He has a good offensive line now, which Detroit has lacked for the past 10, 15 years, perhaps. But Goff made some throws that definitely were head-scratchers, just like I'm scratching my own head right now, having talked about the Lions this much in the past few days. But Jared Goff, this is going to be a big year for him to prove himself. One thing I like, though, about this Dan Campbell team, the resurgence of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Who would have thought that Amon-Ra St. Brown was going to be the leading wide receiver of this team at the end of the season? Not I said to Tom. Anything about that, says the TJ McKinley.
I don't know, because I'm a Browns fan, so I understand your aggravation of the team being so. Look at the people y'all drafted. Y'all drafted, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 defensive players. And y'all drafted a tight end and a wide receiver. So basically, if you think the line is good with the O line, you think the O line is straight?
Yeah, like I said, I think this O line is perhaps the best offensive line I've seen in Detroit. Well, all the last 15 years except for one, and that was the last Jim Caldwell year when they went 9-7 and Quinn mistake, what turned out to be a mistake, fired Jim Caldwell. They had a good offensive line that year. Besides that, they had a good offensive line all last year when they're healthy. The defense was the problem. That said, Aaron Glenn is not a horrible defensive coordinator. That defense stayed in a lot of games that perhaps Detroit shouldn't have. Yes, they were a 3-win team, but they could have easily been a 6 or 7 win team had it not been for a silly bounce off the crossbar, thanks Justin Tucker, a Vikings field goal, and a tie. There's 3 wins right there. That makes 6. So that tells me this team, despite three wins, is not too far off.
Okay, so you feel like that's the reason y'all drafted all these defensive players?
Yeah, part of it is, like I said, the offensive line. And like I said, the defense was the problem, even though it wasn't the overwhelming problem like it was under Matt Patricia.
You think Aiden Hutchinson and Jameis Williams, how you think they're going to become star players, I guess, or market? Because I always look at everything from a business point of view.
Sure.
So you think Aiden Hutchinson and Jameis Williams going to be like, y'all, let's say, base players that y'all build around?
I wouldn't say in year one, but I could see it by year five. If by year three they're not really building to where they should be, then we might be looking at trading them down the road. But right now, it's all development. This point, and we've seen it before. Number one example of a prodigy that did not take time to develop himself once he went pro is Jamarcus Russell. I think we all remember seeing a lot of those tapes, especially Stephen A. Smith. Evidently spend the money on a bunch of donuts! That was Jamarcus Russell. In fact, I'm sure you've seen the meme, and it's true. In 2007, 2008, the Raiders gave him empty, blank tapes for him to study just to see if he was actually watching film. He came back the next day and reported to Raiders staff that he was watching blitz tapes. Classic example of a bust is Jamarcus Russell. Tony Mandridge is another example of a bust. He worked. He did work 20, 30 years ago. I forget exactly when. He did his work. He just wasn't cut out for it. So there are players that don't want to work, Jamarcus Russell, are cut out for it, but just didn't work out, Tony Mandridge, and others that were fit for the job, but had other interests, Andrew Luck. He had a lot of interest in himself, his mental health, etc., which mental health is a real thing, I must tell you. And then players that turn out to be elite, and we see it in college. And my hope is that Aiden Hutchinson and Jameson Williams are the last thing that I had just described, and not perhaps two of the other three. Sometimes focusing on yourself is great, and of course, life, we have one life to live. But nonetheless, all that said, I'm hoping that they do become elite in 3 years.
Why do you think y'all didn't draft a quarterback? Because everybody thought y'all first pick, third or fourth pick, was going to be a quarterback.
That is a good question, and my consensus is this quarterback class was I mean, yes, you had Malik Willis, and he could have been drafted number two, but really, if we're comparing this class to other draft classes in terms of quarterbacks, I would give this class about a C-. Only if you absolutely had to have a quarterback and you had nothing do you take a quarterback with the first pick in this set draft. Even if you had nothing. Detroit's got Goff. He went to a Super Bowl, but like we said, not necessarily the guy, but went to a Super Bowl. And somebody that can learn from him. I would say wait one more year.
Well, let's see. You had Pittsburgh pick up. What's that?
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, Pickens. You had the Falcons pick up dude from Cincinnati, Ridder.
Desmond Ridder, yes.
You had the Titans pick up Malik Willis. He's from Atlanta. I think he was thinking he was going to go home you could tell he idolized Michael Vick, way number seven in college and all that, but he picked up Tennessee Titans. Did you see what Ryan Tannehill said today in his own interview?
Yeah, it had. In fact, I will actually pull up a tweet here from Kendra Middleton, which I found to be quite funny this afternoon. She had said that Ryan Tannehill was sweating. Let's see exactly. Oh, she must have deleted it. But nonetheless, well, that's my train of thought here. Tannehill's shaking in his boots, to say the least. And I couldn't quite pull up what exactly he had said, but Tannehill's shaking in his boots.
Why do you think Rather? Everybody was questionable on that, on the Rather thing in Atlanta. I ain't like that pick. What you think about it?
I mean, the Colts traded for Matt Ryan, and the Falcons were left with a basically open quarterback position, which I had said just a little bit earlier that you don't necessarily, you shouldn't really take a quarterback in this class unless you absolutely needed it. Well, Atlanta absolutely needed it. And Desmond Ridder, like it or not, was the first quarterback to lead a group of five team to the college football playoff. Yeah, that can't ever be taken away from him. Apparently, like you'd said, Atlanta was his home. And he had said that he wasn't going to leave Atlanta until he won a Super Bowl. Well, good luck with that, Desmond Ridder, but I like the attitude that he presents. Malik Willis is from Atlanta. Thank you.
Yeah.
But home or not, Desmond Ridder had said that he was going to be here until he wins a Super Bowl. Good luck with that, Desmond Ridder, but I'm sure Falcons fans love the attitude that he presented to that squad.
In the Pickens. Now we all knew. I don't think Pittsburgh, even though I'm a Browns fan, I don't think Pittsburgh should have wasted their pick with Pickens. Y'all signed Trubisky. Like, I can tell everybody, like, they just getting Trubisky for now. Like, he only gonna be there for like a season and a half, and they gonna trade him. Like, they just desperate for a quarterback now. Like, ain't that how you looked at it? Like, they just got him for now.
It was a big surprise that Tomlin drafted Kenny Pickett. It's a hometown connection because, well, Pickett played for Pitt, and now he's with the Steelers. But I had heard through the grapevine that Tomlin was licking his chops about Malik Willis, and it stunned me that the Pittsburgh Steelers did not draft Malik Willis. That said, Trubisky led the Bears to the playoffs, and he led a Bears team with a head coach that looked like he really wasn't sure about his own offense the whole time to the playoffs. Is Mitch Trubisky elite? I don't think so. But is he a quarterback that helped lead a team that perhaps shouldn't have made the playoffs to the playoffs? He is. So is he somebody that I would perhaps look at learning from? Maybe. It wouldn't be my first choice, but let's remember that Trubisky, love him or hate him, has had success in the NFL, just not an overwhelming ton that we would love to see.
You think he's bad? I think it was because of the defense. I don't think it was because of him for real.
Yeah, but like I said, Trubisky is good but not elite. Because if the status of horrible, bad, good, elite, I would put him in the kind of in the middle, right straight down the middle towards the start of good, but not more than that.
Yeah, because then they tried him to with Buffalo. He was behind Josh Allen, and now he with the Steelers. That's great. Yeah, this quarterback class, I don't think nobody was feeling it.
No.
They are old. Like, they do old quarterbacks. You know, people like young quarterbacks. Like, they was all old.
Yeah, that's also the thing about, draft. These quarterback drafts is that you want somebody that's 20, 21, 22 years old, and you had a bunch of 24, 25-year-olds, and yours truly being 26, I probably could have been one of those quarterbacks in the draft. Would have looked like Ben Roethlisberger out there. Yes, I have a pretty big frame at 5'9 and about 235, but nonetheless. Big Ben I would be. But yeah, we had talked about that. You'd want somebody that's more of 20, 21 years old to be your quarterback. So tell me about your Browns too. You had said they were kind of losers in the draft, but with Deshaun Watson and all that, what's your outlook right now for the Browns?
If Deshaun Watson can't play, because they still ain't said he cleared the night. Well, I ain't saying they cleared the night. Unless somebody, you know, people in the know, but it was some questionable picks. Like, I don't want to bash away right now, because I'm gonna see how they do. Like, how you know, like with Detroit, you gotta see, because y'all drafted a lot of defensive players. But it's like, I don't know, like, Brown fans, they not too happy about them picks. Yeah, they not too, like, we should have got some D linemen out the gate. What else? Like, we need the receivers bad. And they just why they picking up receivers? Like, it's crazy. They dropped a running back. We don't need no running. Let me see. Let me make sure I don't talk about. How do you feel Detroit going to do in the future all these defensive players y'all drafted?
Well, I do see a definite improvement in the defense come next season. That being said, in the win total, I could potentially see a 7-10 team out of these Detroit Lions. And like I had broken it down earlier, they were, let's face it, 5 points away from being 6-11 last year. They were within 5 points of being 6-11. If they a play here, a play there, a couple plays here, 7-10. They were in almost every ball game. Now the two real bad losses we had, one to Philly and one to Seattle, they weren't in it for most of the game. So almost like a golf game where your good holes are decent, but your bad holes are terrible. It means that you're not a very good golfer. If your bad holes are still about a double or a triple bogey, then that means you are a decent golfer. The Lions have to iron out those kinks, especially on defense, and I think they will start to do that next season. I like the Dan Campbell attitude. I like the mentality. I am really looking forward to Hard Knocks later this year with the Detroit Lions. I think a lot of us are. But that's the thing. Yeah. So, but that's the thing, is that the defense has to tighten up the kinks, and the offense has to stay healthy too. They gotta have more wide receivers than Amon-Ra St. Brown. Trinity Benson was supposed to be okay, but they lost him. They lost a couple of other good wide receivers too to injury throughout the year. So it's gotta be healthy, better defense, 7 wins.
We picked up 3 those from Oklahoma. Oh, they got jokes.
Perhaps is that the Browns' way of trying to keep Baker Mayfield?
Or get rid of him trying to be funny. We picked up 3 those. Let's see. D-tackle Perrion Winfrey. Picked up Michael Woods, the second wide receiver. And we picked up Isaiah Thomas, a DN. That's 3 of those. They got jokes. Let's see. What you think about tight ends? You think tight ends are even a factor anymore when it comes to these draft classes?
Yeah, the Titans.
Tight ends.
Oh, tight ends. I'm sorry. Okay. This tight end class, I really didn't see anybody that stood out. There was definitely no Kyle Pitts in this draft. That's for sure. We talked about that quarterbacks were a position that you could only draft if you absolutely needed it. I say the same about this tight end class, is that there really wasn't a guy that just completely stood out in my mind. In fact, to be completely honest, the first tight end that sneaks up to my mind is Luke Schoonmaker, and he was Michigan's tight end, and he's still on the University of Michigan. So that tells me that the tight end class this year was not something I would really look at. Maybe like 6th, 7th round, but not something that I would necessarily look at doing. I guess. So.
Yeah, it's just like the tight ends. It's like, this, unless you like starting all 3-4 years coming out the gate, it's like, you know, it's like the fullback position. It's like nobody looking at it nowhere like that. Like fullback, a lot of fullbacks, you know, they just coming out of college or they coming off the street from practice squad. Because I remember back in the day, fullbacks used to be one of the positions everybody got drafted. Well, late round. It's always been a late round. Like, you put fullback. Now I'd be like, okay, we need another receiver. Or, yeah, give me another DN corner. You know what I'm saying? It's like fullbacks just don't matter no more. Like, tight end. Well, tight ends are still a factor. They just don't use no more like they used to.
Right. And, yeah, the fullback position, I mean, you do have a third down back, it seems like, but that seems to be more of in the college game. And your third down back is usually an even faster back than your first and second down back. The NFL has gone to more speed rather than size over the last few years. That's why the triple option offense, even though I love seeing the triple option offense, it really doesn't work a lot in the National Football League, is because it's simply because of speed. And you see a lot of pros that come right out of college drop about 10 to 20 pounds just so that they can match the speed that these NFL linemen, linebackers, safeties, and corners all have to go through. So, yeah, the third down back is more of a lighter back position more than a heavier back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I thought about rapping, but go ahead. You, go ahead. What you got for me?
No, that's what I was about to say. Is anything else you want to talk about?
Okay, yeah, we're pretty much on the same boat here. So, yeah, that's a lot of NFL drafts. We talked a lot about the winners and some losers. I guess one more question I have for you is, what'd you think about that Patriots first draft pick? It was pretty strange, wasn't it?
From Chattanooga, Tennessee?
Yes.
Bill Belichick, me and Bill Belichick. Like, he always do that every draft. He always get a random dude and somehow make them be good. Oh, he always do that. What you think?
Yeah, that's pretty typical of Bill Belichick, and Brady has had to hide of a lot of issues that the Patriots have had over the years in terms of talent that they have. And I'm not, of course, the Patriots make three-star players five-star caliber. Let's make that pretty clear. But the thing is once Tom Brady left, the Patriots took a real downturn, and now they're kind of... So right now, honestly, the Patriots are in this curve. They're kind of at about here, which, for those that are listening on audio and not video, which is about the middle of that curve, of that bell curve that goes down and then up. We're at about the middle of that curve. So we'll see how it goes for the rest of this year. But nonetheless, yeah, the Patriots definitely are quite a surprise when it comes to draft picks like that. So we've had a good 25, 30-minute conversation. It's good to always have you on the show. Anything else you have to add to this wonderful Tom Green podcast?
This is TJ McKinley. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. TJ Savage. I'm new to this podcasting thing, but I'm learning. You can find Tom Green at Twitter, of course. What's your Twitter?
Personal Twitter is at TomTV23. Podcast Twitter is at Tom Green Pod. I use the personal a lot more than podcast. I'm public on either. Follow me.
Yeah, so you can follow us on them Twitters and spread the Twitters. I mean, follow us on Twitter and spread the podcast. We want everybody to hear this.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Absolutely. Definitely a pleasure to have you. He is TJ McKinley, and this has been the Tom Green Podcast.